Good morning, and welcome to the study of the Word of God at Spring Valley Bible Church. My name is Chris Dagg. I'll be teaching this morning, and looking forward to spending some time looking at some of the promises that God has given us this morning. Well, this morning, we'll be looking at some of the promises that God has given us. That whole word thing. Grammar, right? So lots of prayer requests this morning. I know we're going to have at the 10:45 class, Pastor Maddox will go through prayer requests, but there's some that will be on this morning that I'd love for you all to pray about. Wanted to just give a praise report with Brian Wise and family. I'm so excited to know that the surgery went well. For y'all that don't know, Brian was in surgery last week. I don't know all the details, but he had surgery on his lung due to a tumor that they had found. And right now it looks very encouraging that he's healing well, came home yesterday. We believe it was yesterday. I'm sure we'll get a lot more reports on this. But as of right now, it looks like everything went really well. So continue to be in prayer for Brian and the Wise family as they battle through this journey in with this cancer. Wanted to give a praise report for Nick, speaking of which, our son Nick, who's dealing with Lyme disease. Nick had, I would say, the best week that we have seen him have in months, if not since this time last year. We've changed some supplements that he's on, some other regimens that he's working on. He's back to getting some workout. He went and played basketball with his brother for an hour and a half yesterday, which in and of itself, I mean, I can't play basketball for 15 minutes. He did it for an hour and a half with his brother, and they go pretty hard. So, praise on that, and please continue to pray for Nick and his continued battle. The thing we've figured out, or that we've kind of come to the conclusion of with Lyme disease, it's a chronic disease, and it's not something that they give you a pill for and it goes away. It's going to be something that he's going to have to deal with for maybe his entire life. So until they get to some place where maybe pharmaceutical sciences and stuff will figure out how to cure it. But at this point in time, it's managing it. And so this week was awesome. Lori and I just about cried when we were talking the other day, and Nick said, "Man, I feel good." He didn't say, "I feel better." He said, "I feel good." And that coming out of his mouth is it just almost made us cry. It was awesome. There's lots of different ways, insect bites, ticks. Everybody talks about tick bites. That is true. That's one of them, but you can get all kinds of stuff from tick bites, but there are a lot of different ways to get Lyme. The common known way to get it is through tick bites. We have no idea how he got it. It's microbes in your blood that can stay in your blood and be passive for years and years until your immune system gets depressed to the place where all of a sudden it starts to attack stuff. So we don't know when he got it or how he got it, but anyway, please continue being prayer for Nick. Camp. Summer camp is coming up. It will be June 28th through July 2nd. And y'all, invite people, invite kids, invite grandkids, invite your grandkids to invite kids, whatever it takes. We need to continue to, the mission field continues to come to us, right? We don't need to go to Africa. We don't need to go to you know, the Pakistan. The mission field is right here in our area, and the kids are right in the middle of the battle. So find those kids, invite them to camp. If you don't know the information, or go to libertyyouthministries.com and just point them there. If you don't know how to find it, I promise you the kids will find it in about half a second. Just tell them where to find it and go. And so we need you to invite kids. Please be in prayer for camp, for the teaching and all that's going on there. And then this weekend, we have a senior celebration, so all of the seniors that are graduating this year will be coming out to camp, actually. I think we have 39-ish. And their moms and dads or family will be joining us. So we'll have somewhere around 75 kids and families, kids. Young people that are getting ready to graduate and move into the next era of their lives. We'll be celebrating them next week. next weekend on Saturday. So please, please be in prayer for that celebration, that the gospel will be given, which it will be, and that we have the opportunity to just continue to work with these young people, and that they'll continue to want to be a part of this ministry. So, in other prayer requests for this morning, otherwise we'll wait till Pastor Maddox has that prayer time before his service in a few minutes. So if you bow your heads with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you. You are the provider. You are the healer. You are the one that takes care of us in everything, which we'll be talking about this morning, Father. And just pray that we praise you for taking care of Nick and for Brian and so many others, that you've healed their bodies and or you've guided the doctors, or you've just, whatever it is, your provision, your care, your love is demonstrated through what you've done in their lives, Father. And we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We honor you for that. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will be here with us, that it will just, that we can set the craziness of the world aside just for a little while to spend our time with you, fully focused on you. And Father, we just pray that that the Holy Spirit will guide my words. The things that are spoken this morning will be glorifying to you and edifying to each one of us. And that, Father, we'll take something away from here that we'll just be able to apply to our lives to help us continue to grow our relationship with you and live our lives according to your will. Father, we thank you for this time together and all that you do for us each day. In Christ's name, amen. So this morning I'm wanting to follow up a little bit with what we talked about last week, where we were talking about Abraham, and specifically the point of last week was understanding that the faithfulness of God in his promises is eternal. It lasts forever. From the time he made the promise to Abraham, go, and I will make a great nation. I will bless you. I will make a name for you, and I will bless all the nations through you. It was the promise to Abraham. And 2,100 years before Christ, Christ shows up, and the promise of being all the nations being blessed is fulfilled. And yet the promises are still to come, because more promises to Abraham, that whenever Christ does return, that the promises to the Jews will be fully fulfilled in the land. And so we spent a little bit of time last week talking about Abraham, and that was the foundation for us talking today and next week and the following week with regards to some specific promises that God makes for us, makes to us, and what that impact is. And as I was mentioning last week, this is in preparation for the teaching with the young people at camp this summer. And the point of the theme of the week is the promises of God. That's the theme. And those promises, because it's right before the 4th of July, right? So as I mentioned, it's June 28th through July 2nd. So right before the 4th of July, it's the promises of life in Christ, freedom or liberty through Christ, and joy or happiness in Christ. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the promises that we will be covering. Do we know there's lots of other promises? Absolutely. There's very specific promises. There's things. But those are the ones that we are going to be covering with the campers this summer. And as we prepare for the 4th of July celebration, where we celebrate life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that comes from God, the Creator. And so this morning I wanted to continue the study of promises, specifically talking to the promise of life in Christ. And I know everybody here, and I assume that a majority of the folks that are online right now anyway, we understand the gospel. We understand the truth of the gospel, faith alone in Christ alone, and eternal life that we receive because of our faith in Christ. But I want to start with Romans 6:20 today. And so if you'll open your Bibles to Romans 6:20, we'll read that, and then we'll see if we can make some ground on life in Christ. And so Romans 6:20 says, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now it's interesting, we're going to be talking about the promises of freedom in Christ and happiness, joy in Christ, but it says here, you know, we're slaves to God. Freedom, slaves, we'll get there. But it's pretty amazing what God is saying here. So what is eternal life? In Christ we have eternal life. Eternal life, Zoe Aionis, and I can't say that right, is the Greek words we're talking about here. Some might say eternal life is living forever. They would be right. But that's not all of it. No one ceases to exist when they die. Sometimes that's really hard for folks to get their head around, is everybody has eternal life as defined by the soul will never go away. It's eternal. We are all born that way. And so, no one ceases to exist when they die. Everyone lives forever in either heaven or hell. So is this saying that eternal life must be living forever in heaven instead of hell? Well, that's true. We all know that to be true. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, and we spend our eternity with God in heaven. But it's not all of it either. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, if you look at John 3:36, it says, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Both of these verses are using the adjective translated eternal. From the Greek word helps, which is a study tool, and Strong's Concordance, aionios does not focus on the future per se, but rather on the quality of the age. This is quoting from the Greek helps. This word does not focus on the future per se, but rather on quality of the age it relates to. Thus, believers live in eternal life. Right now, here and now, experiencing this quality of life, of God's life now as a present possession. Eternal life is a present possession. We spend our I'm a believer. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Right. Eternal life starts now. Eternal life starts today. Eternal life starts the minute that we've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's a present tense. Eternal life is a present tense possession. We have it right now. It's not something that we get when we die. We all know the next verse that uses this same adjective and noun of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Present tense possession of eternal life. So why are we going down this path? There are many people who look at this verse and they see forgiveness of sin and avoidance of going to hell when they die, but they miss a big part of eternal life. If we all got out of believing was forgiveness of sins, which we're spending a lot of time on right now in our next service, in our next study, if all we got was the forgiveness of sins and a ticket to heaven, that would be an overwhelming gift from a gracious and loving God. But he didn't stop there. That wasn't it. From the fall of Adam, sin was a barrier between God and man. And Jesus removed that barrier on the cross. This means that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, on the spot, we are forgiven by God. There is no longer a barrier. There's nothing in the way. At that very moment, we are made new creatures in Christ. We are in Christ at that moment. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. 2 Corinthians 5:17. At the moment of believing, we are reconciled to God. We have eternal life. So now that I'm saved, I've believed, I've got eternal life, I'm going to heaven, I'm made a new creation, and my sins won't be counted against me. All I have to do is believe. That's it. That's the gospel. Seems like a pretty sweet deal. At least I think it seems like a pretty sweet deal. But now, I'm believed, I'm saved, I've got eternal life. Now I can go off and lead my life however I want. So what's in it for me to know that eternal life is now? So what's in it for me? We can come to church and learn about God. We can serve others. We can share the gospel. We can spend time in prayer talking to our Father. Jesus defines eternal life, and we've studied this before, in John 17:3. Y'all probably remember this. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God. Now, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus praying to his Father. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, they, us, know you, the only true God, God the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is knowing God the Father. Eternal life is knowing God the Son. God's promise of eternal life is a promise that we get to know God. Sometimes we think about that as a chore. Man, I got to go to Bible study. Ah, I got to pray. Ah, I got to... Oh, seriously, this is work. But it's a promise from God that when we believe and are filled with the Spirit, we have the pleasure of getting to know God. That ought to just bring us all to our knees. It doesn't, because we're like, okay, there's a lot of work that goes into that. But if we stop and think about what that is and who He is, the righteous God who loves us, that ought to be something that overwhelms every one of us. To know God, to know gnosko, a personal, intimate relationship. I feel for people who go to church and spend time in churches where they say, that's God. That guy over there, worship him from afar, where God is saying, no, worship me right here. Love me right here. Know me, a personal, intimate relationship. Matthew 11:27, all things have been committed to me, Jesus Christ, by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Through Christ Jesus, we get to know the Father in a personal relationship because he reveals him to us. This is a present tense, personal relationship. So what do we get out of it? The Wiffum, right? What's in it for me? As we mature, we hopefully stop thinking about what's in it for me. But there's always something in it for us. So if you would, turn to Psalm 16. We're going to spend a little bit of time in Psalm 16. We're going to read the whole psalm. And then we're going to tie it back to what's in it for us, knowing God. Psalm 16 says, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say to the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up the names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let my faithful one see decay. You make me known, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. What an amazing psalm. What an amazing prayer. What an amazing conversation to have with our Father. To know God is to trust God. Psalm 9:10 says, "Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." So as we look at Psalm 16, we understand that each one of these things that David is speaking to the Lord, it's in trust, it's in faith, it's in love, it's in a knowledge of who God is. So looking at Psalm 16 in the light of how we've defined eternal life, knowing God, to know God in verse 1 is to rest in His protection. It says in verse 1, wrong page. It says, "Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge." Living our lives without fear, knowing we are protected by the one true God. What's in it for us? Knowing God, we can live our lives absent of fear. How amazing would it be to live our lives afraid of nothing? I'm not talking about John Wayne Macho afraid of nothing. I'm talking about deep in our souls when everything is falling apart. There's no fear. How would we like to live our lives like that? Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardships or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" That's a lot of strife. That's a lot of challenge. "So as it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." But it says, no, we don't fear these things. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's our protector. Living our life without fear, knowing these things that we cannot be taken out of His love, what a great place to be. What a wonderful place and a way to live your life. But that's just the start. We can't be taken away from Him. We belong to Him. After we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are His forever. And nothing can separate us from His love. Second, to know God is to trust in His His provision. Verse 2. "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." The interesting part is, even as believers, we spend our lives trying to get ours. We're trying to get ours. That's the term today. Well, you need to get yours. Trying to make a name for ourselves, to build a legacy, chase a dream, get the most toys. I always liked that one. I always wanted that bumper sticker that "He who dies with the most toys wins." That's stupid. I mean, you're dead. Who cares how many toys you have, right? But I always thought it was pretty funny.
Have you ever seen anybody dragging their toy chest or the vault or the U-Haul behind theirs?
I have not, but it's, you know, the interesting thing is if you look at the Egyptians and the pharaohs and they were put into their pyramids and all their stuff was put in there with them. Well, what, 3,000 years later, we're taking all their stuff. It's not like it was gone. So we enslave ourselves to our wants, our desires of our flesh. But how awesome would it be to live our lives trusting in His provision. Matthew 6:28 and following says, "And why do you worry about clothes?" I thought that was, I was like, God, you really nailed this generation, this century. Because we so worry about clothes. I'm assuming they did before. But man, clothes are the thing, right? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows us. He loves us. God sees a need and fulfills the need. Third verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. First, seek the kingdom and His righteousness. God's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. Nothing can take us out of His love. And He's going to provide for us. He's going to give us everything we need. You know, sometimes what we need is to come home face to face with Him. So death is not, oh, He failed. Death is the ultimate in God taking care of us. So when situations get rough or we start running low, we turn to Him. We seek the kingdom of God. We seek His righteousness. Number three, to know God is to have a family in Christ which we can delight in. To know God is to have a family in Christ which we can delight in. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ. How amazing would it be if this were the social justice cause of the Christian, of our Christian brothers and sisters? That's our cause, is we're all one in Christ. Unity of mind and spirit in Christ. We have a family. Y'all, community is the key word in churches today. And there was a period of time where I'm like, man, these key word, tricky phrases, oh, it's the word, right? But it's not based on falsehood. It's just a key word that everybody uses. And if they use it wrong, it's like anything else in the Bible. If you use it wrong, it's wrong. But the fact is community is important to us. The family, we call it in our generation and in this church, the family of God. In today's generation, it's called community. Okay, it's community. It's the family of God. It is incredibly important for us to have community and to have the family of God and to come together and, oh, y'all online, and to meet together. It's important. It's incredibly important, and God gives that as a promise and a blessing to us. Even in the places where in Pakistan, where you can't meet together, or in China, they still find a way to get together because the community and the family of God is one that we should delight in. It should be our joy to get together. It should be our joy to pray together. It should be our joy to encourage one another, to love one another, to serve one another in the church. It's not a job. It's a joy. It's a delight. It's a promise from God. Delight in being part of the family of God. But be a part of the family of God. To know God is to have the understanding. Sorry, moving on to number four. Not sorry for the preaching, but moving on to number four. Verse 4 says, those who run after other gods will suffer more and more, and I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. To know God is to have the understanding of an impact of sin and the power to overcome temptation. Turn away from evil and live in the light. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. There is sin in this world, and y'all, we will fall into it. None of us are perfect. We will all fail, and we will all succumb to the pleasures of this world. But God gives us the way out. He gives us the way out. And He will never allow temptation to go beyond what we can handle. How do we handle it? We handle it because Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to handle it. We don't handle it. Sin is not our problem. Succumbing to sin and temptation is God's challenge to help us overcome it. But we so get in the way. We so John Wayne it. We so want to, I'm gonna pull up my bootstraps and I'll take care of this sin problem. Stop. All that leads to is stress, anxiety, depression, and failure. Because we can't overcome sin on our own. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. How do we overcome temptation? Through the power of the Spirit, walking in Christ. Walking in the light. Next, verses 5 and 6. You are my portion and my cup. I read ahead on the last one. To know God is to be content in God. It's different. God's going to give us everything we need. He's going to take care of us. He's going to make sure we have what we need. That doesn't mean we're content with it. You know, that's the craziest part. He gives us everything we need, but He doesn't give us everything we want. Thank goodness. What a disaster that would be. You are my portion and my cup. Satisfied with what you have. What do you need to be content? What is it that we need to be content? That's a question we all need to answer. When we're getting up in the morning and getting ready to go to work and looking in the mirror and, man, I got to do this again. But God gave us this, gave me this job. God takes care of everything that I need. Am I content? Or am I whining and complaining? 1 Timothy 6, 6-12, which I know has been taught recently. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The question we have to answer ourselves is, can we be content knowing God? And knowing we have an inheritance from God as His children. He's going to take care of the needs. We have to make a decision through the power of the Spirit in trusting Him. Are we content with everything that He gives us? Or do we always need more? When we are content with only the Lord, no one can take that away from us. This is one of those things I would love to get across to young people. I'd love to get it across to everybody, including myself. When we have something that makes us content, whoever controls that something controls us. If my job makes me content, then my boss controls whether I'm content. If my car makes me content, then my mechanic controls whether or not I'm content. If God makes me content, then God controls whether I'm content. God will never take it away from us, but man will. Are we content knowing God? To know God, moving on, to know God is to be guided by Him, verses 7 and 8. I will praise the Lord who counsels me, even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. God provides, directs your path, our path, and provides counsel. God provides wisdom to make good decisions. To know God is to have the wisdom to make good decisions because He gives it to us. James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Psalm 25:4-5, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Biggest challenge with wisdom is being wise enough to wait for your understanding before you make decisions. I mean, if I don't know, sometimes I decide anyway. You know, when in doubt, this used to be a saying of mine, when in doubt, move. Do something. That's a bad decision. When in doubt, wait. Wait on the Lord. You are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. To know God is to claim the victory of Christ over death. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. To know God is to claim the victory of Christ over death, living our life knowing that death is not the end. It changes your perspective on life. When the end is death, then you got to get it all done before it gets here. Because there's nothing after that. When the beginning is death, you don't have to be in such a rush. Just enjoy the ride. You get to the end and it all starts from there. What a completely different perspective on life. You know, it's interesting watching young people and people in general that I gotta get it done right now. Everything has to be right now. Everything we do in technology today, and this is nothing wrong with technology, but it's about getting things to us faster and faster and faster and faster so we can get more stuff done before it's all over. I mean, think about it. I need to Google, and that's not an endorsement to Google, so Facebook, be cool about that. But I need to Google where the Chick-fil-A is because I only have, you know, like 7 seconds to figure it out before I'm going to pick something else. It's like, I got to have it. And we all do it. How many of you have a phone on you right now? Why? Because we never live home without it. Why? Because we can get answers to absolutely every question we ever had in 3 seconds or less. Man, how would we like to live our life with the joy of being in the presence of the Lord today? If we died tomorrow and we didn't have Google with us anymore, amen. Please do not bury my phone in my casket with me. Life, the perspective on life totally changes when we recognize that when we die, it's not over. It's just beginning. Living our life with the joy of being in the presence of the Lord today. We get that pleasure today. Romans 8:5, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. God promises us. We stay focused on Him and we have life and peace. Eternal life starts today, not when we die. We can have that. We can live our lives like that. As Christians, we have eternal life right now. Eternal life is knowing God. And we are either living in the light of eternal life, knowing God, trusting Him, or we're living in the darkness of the world. You know, you really can't straddle this fence. You really can't have one foot on one side and one. You're either all in on one side or you're all on the other. Now, you may go back and forth like this all day long, which most of us probably do. But you can't straddle it. You're either in the darkness in the moment or you're in the light. We are either living in the light of eternal life, knowing God, trusting Him, or we're living in darkness of the world. We are called to imitate Christ by refusing to fall in love with this world. This does not mean that we cannot enjoy the things that God has created. We should. They're gifts. But we are also to do this within the boundaries set by our loving Heavenly Father and reserve our passion and devotion for Him alone. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich and present in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain it can be taken away, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We are not called to retreat from this world in seclusion or isolation, but we are not to love the world either. Many times I thought, man, give me my 40 acres out near Glen Rose, hill country, have a cow, one, because two is a lot more work, right? One, have a little garden, and never have to talk to anybody again. And for y'all that didn't hear that, there were a lot of amens in the room. But He didn't call us to retreat from the world. He didn't say, oh, go take all these promises, now go hide off and be content. But we're not to love the world either. John 17:15, my prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. And so here's the deal. We aren't to run from the world. We're to live right smack in the middle of it. But we are to focus on Him. We are to be the light in the darkness. We're the ones to bring this light to the world. We're not to hide. Man, do I want that land? Yes. Do I want to go? Yes. Would I be content? I would say yes, but He knows better. Right? We're not to run. We're not to hide. We're not to close our door and be afraid of the things that are outside. We're to be right smack in the middle of it. But we're not to love the world or anything in the world. We are to put our passion and our devotion for God alone. We are not to be conformed to the world or to this world's anti-God mindset. But we are to be transformed by God's Word and Spirit so that we may know and do God's will. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Knowing God gives us the opportunity to know His will. Eternal life is knowing God, a personal relationship. It starts now. Remember that we are strangers in this world. The world is not our home. We are passing through this world to the heavenly country where we will dwell with God forever. Why the heavenly country? Think about Abraham and his journey, going back to that last week. Journeying from Haran to the promised land, he lived in a tent. Some really rough stuff happened. Some of it was self-induced. Sound familiar? Some of it was just being in the world. God was faithful and He delivered him and his family. He made him a great nation and He blessed all nations through him. We are strangers in this world and we may go around to different places wherever God wants us to go. But if we're willing to go, God will bless us and bless those around us through His Son, through His Spirit, through the things that we get to be partakers of in that enjoyment. Unlike this world, which is passing away, those who love God and do His will abide forever. So here's the deal. We can't be on both sides of the fence. We can live our eternal life now, and we can have rest in his protection. We can have all the things we need provided by God. We can enjoy the family of God. We can be content in all that God promises us. We can be guided by God. We can claim victory over death because of His love. And we can be absent the stress, the anxiety, the depression. All those things could be gone. We can live our eternal life right now. That's the way God set it up. Or as believers, still saved, we can wait until we die to live our eternal life. We can conform to the world and live a life of slavery to sin. We can have this insatiable appetite for the desires of the flesh. A lot of those things, there's nothing even wrong with them. Except for it's our desire instead of God. We can live with fear. Who's going to take what away? We can spend all of our time checking out Fox News and figuring out all the horrible things that's going to happen to us in the next week. Right? The world is coming to an end, or at least the United States. It's all over, people. We can spend our entire existence focused on what's happening in the world. And we can be stressed. And we can have anxiety. Y'all, how many use the term stressed this week? I bet somebody either used it, or every one of us either used it or heard it this week. Stress is an epidemic. Why? Because we're focused on the world. And the crazy part, y'all, is the stress epidemic is not just in the unbelievers. The stress epidemic is in believers. That's the sad part. Unbelievers, breaks my heart. Christians, what are you thinking? Know God. Get out of the stress. Get out of the darkness. In Christ, God promises life, eternal life, and it starts the moment we believe. So in closing, I wanted to tell a quick story that came to mind as I was talking to Ben last week. I guess it was when we were at family weekend. Actually, I wasn't talking to Ben. I was talking to a couple of his friends. And we were down there, and we were, they had all kinds of stuff going on. It's family weekend, and this isn't in the Bible, but this is just a story. But it was really interesting because I was talking to two of Ben's friends, and they were talking back and forth, and one of them made the comment with regards to, you know, it's easy to hate the Corps. They're both in the Corps. These two friends are both in the Corps cadets. And it's easy to complain about it. And I can't remember exactly what the phrase was that she used. But, yeah, oh yeah, we love to hate the Corps. We love to hate the Corps. And as I was thinking about this, I was talking to them and listening to them go on. And it's so true. I was thinking back to our academy days when we loved to hate the academy, right? What does that mean? We loved to complain about the academy couldn't do anything right. It was the most horrible place in the entire world. Just ask anyone who went there. And so we loved to hate it. But as we were speaking about this, I just had this thought of, you know, the only, as I think back on my time at the academy and all the things we complained about, I don't have any regrets or any even bad thoughts that we don't laugh or whatever about the things that we went all in on. The things where we said, you know what, we're just going to go all in. We're going to give it everything we got. And I know this is a worldly example, and it says don't go all in on the things of the world. And promise you that there were a lot of things of the world we went all in on. We've matured since then. We is a deflection of I. So as I was thinking about this with them, I'm like, I've never regretted anything that I went all in on. But things that I kind of halfway in, a little bit here, it's just kind of nothing. It's just kind of whatever. Or, I didn't like that so much. Or so as I was thinking about this, it's a worldly example, but if eternal life is ours right now, then when we come to the end of our earthly lives and we get ready to see our Savior face to face, I can't imagine that any of us would have any regrets of going all in on eternal life, going all in on Jesus, going all in on living our lives according to God's will, knowing Him and studying and spending time and going where He wants us to go. Or we can get to the end of our lives and go, eh. Now, we know what comes next. That's the blessing that none of us can get rid of. Man, it's like one of those blessings. You can't, even if you want to, you can't get rid of it. But how would you like to get to the end of your life and you look back and say, wow, all in. I was all in. How do we do that? We do that through the power of the Spirit. We do that through trusting God. We do that for asking Him and spending time in prayer and putting those things in front of Him, wisdom, and God, I know this is my challenge. How do I get through it? I know that TV is my addiction. I spend 10 hours a day in TV and 15 minutes in studying the Bible, if that. But how would we like to flip that and say, God, let me go all in. Let me just be all in on this eternal life thing. It will change your life. It will change my life. And every one of us has our opportunities of where we want to hold on and we want to control. Go all in. Give it all up. Give it to Him. And let's spend our lives in eternal life knowing a personal, intimate relationship with God, with His Son, with His Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time this morning. Just pray, Father, that the things that were said and the scriptures that were read were a blessing, that they were used in context. But, Father, just take these things that we talked about this morning and just put it in our soul. Do with it as Your Spirit sees fit, Father, to convict us, to challenge us, to push us. Father, just give us the desire to go all in. To live eternal life today, to know You, to love You, to have a passion for You today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together this morning, and we pray that it is glorifying to You and edifying to each one of us. In Christ's name, amen.